Tobacco, the pastor here at Rogers Assembly, and I just want to thank you for joining our audio podcast today. I hope that this message makes you feel connected, that it allows you to grow in your faith, and it helps you understand that God is moving in your life. Enjoy the message. Hello, church. Today we are continuing on in our series, Lessons from the Middle of the Storm. If you remember with me last week, we were in Acts chapter 27, where Paul was on a mission to get to Rome. He was going there on a merchant vessel, a cargo ship, by way of a prisoner they had taken him on. When that ship encountered a northeaster, or what we would commonly call today a hurricane, and that ship was broken apart and shipwrecked on the island of Malta. But we came to understand last week that storms in this life just happen. They're naturally occurring, and they come against all of us. Men and women, godly and ungodly, they come against all of us. No one is escaped from the effects and the power of the storm. They are beyond our control. And storms always bring opposition to us. They always make things difficult. They always make things hard. And they always, in a way, seem to bring us to a place of vulnerability where we realize how little we are and how much we need God. We understand that last week that even though we're all affected by the storm, we don't always end up in the same places. For some people, they end up in a season of brokenness, while others end up in a place of healing. For some, the storm brings people to a place of heartache, while others it brings to a place of redemption. For others, it might lead to despair, and to others, it might deepen their sense of faith. So how do we determine our destination on where the storm is taking us? How can we end up in the positive instead of in the negative? How do we end up in healing and forgiveness instead of anger and instead of bitterness? And we determined last week that the key to ending up in the destination where God wants you is, in the middle of the storm, you have to determine whose voice you're going to listen to. And the voice you listen to determines your destination. I'm so glad that in the middle of the storm, God is still speaking to us. And it's our job to hear God's voice and to listen and obey. And when we do that, God navigates us through the storms of life to a destination that He had for us all along. The storm is not our enemy. The storm is not our opposition. The storm is our transportation. It gets us to a place where God has intended for us. Today, as we worship the Lord together on Father's Day, I do want to speak to all fathers out there, men everywhere. But beyond that, I believe this is a message that is universal. And so women, children, teenagers, everyone who has ears, this message is for you. As fathers, though, it is often our duty to steer the ship of our families. And it's our job to help our wives and our children navigate the storms of this life and to help them reach their destinations safely and in a timely fashion. And as fathers, we take on that role to help steer the ship, that our families are on. For me, one day Malachi, one day Moses, one day Mercedes, you will be steering your own ship in life. And you will have other people dependent upon you for their well-being and their safety and from getting them from point A to point B safely. And so it's my job as the captain of our family and the captain of our ship to help navigate the storms of life wisely and safely, so that when the storms hit, when the pressures hit, when the cancers hit, when the untimely deaths hit, when the financial hardships hit, when the pandemics and the quarantines hit, that we will be able to navigate every storm this life brings to us And we'd be able to navigate that successfully and reach us to a place that God had for us all along. As fathers, we gladly accept that role. We step up to the plate. We grab the bull by the horns and we embrace the role of leadership. But what they don't tell you as you're entering into fatherhood and you're entering into this position, that it looks and it sounds easier than it really is. It is difficult sometimes to navigate life and to navigate our families through these massive storms that hit us. And so today, we are chosen by God to help navigate through these very difficult, through these very painful, through these very ferocious times. You know, the storms in life that bring us pain, and the storms in life that bring us hardship, and that bring us difficulty. They slow us down. They hinder us. They weigh on us, and they weigh on our hearts, and they weigh on our spirits. And we have people that's dependent on us to help get them through. And it's difficult for us sometimes because the storm is so heavy on us as a person, we don't even know how we're going to get through the storm, let alone help other people get through the storm. And the storm takes its toll on us. And it weathers us. And it weakens us. And it wears us down. And it brings us sometimes to a place of just utter vulnerability. To get real for a moment, oftentimes the storms of this life leave us feeling inadequate, like we're not good enough or we're not capable enough. Sometimes the storms of this life just leave us feeling overwhelmed, like there's too much to deal with. There's too much for me as a person. And so it causes men to just shut down emotionally and become emotionally unavailable. Sometimes we find ourselves lacking in those areas. And so we find ourselves running, or we find ourselves overcompensating. Have you ever met a man that thinks he knows everything about everything? And don't answer that question. But oftentimes it comes from a place where men feel like we have to know everything. And we have this sense when really underneath the surface, we don't have all the answers and we don't know. We have this idea that if we just fake it till we make it, that we can get by. And it sometimes leaves us hollow on the inside as a man and as a leader. It makes us feel inferior and inadequate, like we're actors that are just playing the part of a father or playing the part of a leader. And more often than we like to admit it, the things of this world and the storms of this world turn us towards sin. And they turn us towards the things of this world that help us medicate our problems and medicate the unrest and the uneasiness that we feel under the surface. And I want you to know today, everyone out there who is listening to this, that God never intended the storms of this life to leave us in this way. No, God intended us to sail through the storms of this life to reach the proper destinations that God has for us, to make us stronger, not to make us weaker, to enable us, not to disable us. And so today I want to look at three types of power that will help us be stable enough through the storms of life. And I want to look at a scripture found in Mark chapter 6, and I'm going to start reading at verse 45. It says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethesda. And while he dismissed the crowd, after leaving them, he went on up to a mountainside to pray. And when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the lake. Let me say that again. The boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on land. And he saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. And I want to pause here in our story to take a look at the very first power that I want to introduce to you today, and that is starting power. Starting power. See, we as men, we love to start things. We're great starters. Some of you out there are just great starters. Like when we start a diet, we go to the grocery store and we get our keto bread and we get our almond flour, we get our cauliflower rice, and we get our fresh cut veggies, and we get our lettuce wraps, and we get our cheeses, and we get our meats, and we're ready to rock this thing. But after about 3 or 4 days, man, that bacon cheeseburger just really sounds good. And so maybe we start over the next week and we're like, okay, this is the week. I'm going to really hit it hard this week. I'm going to do it again, and I'm going to start my diet again this week. And then, we replicate, and then the third week, and we might do this again and again and again, because we're starters. We're great at starting things. Sometimes we're really good at starting projects. Maybe not so great at finishing them. We start projects and we start getting in and we start diving in and diagnosing what has to happen. And then we realize that there's like 10 more projects that really should have happened first that they disable the progress we're able to make on the current project, because these really have to happen first. And so we get into a project, and sometimes we get sidelined by other projects that pop up. And well, we really need to do this, and we really need to do this, and we really need to do this. And so sometimes we're great at starting, but we're not always great at carrying through. But starting power is the power necessary in order to take the storm and embrace the storm. We're great at starting projects, maybe not great with the rest of it. In fact, just to be a little bit telling, my father-in-law still has yet to finish a basement remodel he started way back in the 70s. He started well, and he had that starting power, but he had to work on some of the rest of it. Starting power is where it's at. And you have to begin somewhere. And this is where the disciples are at. The disciples had great starting power here in Mark chapter 6. So let me just set a biblical context of what I'm talking about. You have to back up just a little bit in scripture, and I'll paraphrase. But right before this story unfolds here in Mark 6, Jesus is found, and he's teaching a great multitude. He's teaching a crowd, and there's 5,000 men that have gathered, maybe with women and children, maybe upwards of 15 or 20,000. We do not know the count. We do know that there are at least 5,000 minimum. And it tells us that in verse 35, as he was teaching, it says it grew late in the day and the people were very hungry and they didn't have any food. And so there was a little boy, and you guys know the story. There was a little boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish, and Jesus got a hold of them, and Jesus multiplied that, and Jesus fed the crowds, and everyone ate and ate to their fill. Verse 45 tells us that immediately Jesus made his disciples get in the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethesda. So we know that the disciples are heading out on the boat right after dinner, maybe at dusk, late in the day. Verse 47 tells us when the evening came, the boat was in the middle of the lake. And he was alone on land. So we know that just a couple of hours after getting in the boat, they're already halfway through the course. They're already there. They had great starting power. And we as fathers need to have great starting power. We need to start well. Put your mind to the task, initiate, and start your family on the right routes in life. See, we have to have great starting power. We need to get our kids in church early when they're young. We need to start disciplining them when they're young. We need to go to church and get them dedicated and say that promise and to God that we're going to raise our kids in a godly environment, in a godly home, and we're going to teach them all about the ways of the Lord. And great starting power is what it takes to begin our journey. It's the attitude that we need to have in order to get through the storm. Things in life get a little bit difficult after the starting phase. And we realize that the storm hits. Verse 48 says that this Jesus, he saw the disciples straining at the oars because the winds were against them. Here we have that same language that we talked about last week in Acts chapter 27. The winds were against them. The winds bring opposition. The winds bring a vision that is blurry. They bring us circumstances that are tough, that make us work overtime with minimal gain. Fathers, if you do not know what the storms of life are, let me define some of them. It's toddlers at age 2. That is your first real experience with storms. And as those toddlers get into everything, you start to see that life, maybe the innocence of childhood isn't all that sweet and all that good. And toddlers begin to get everything. And these storms just they begin to multiply over time, and they get a little bit more intense as it goes. And all of that is in preparation for the biggest storm, which I call like the tornado of storms, that hits your family right around the time where your kids turn 13, and it lasts for 7 years throughout their whole teenage years until they're about 20. It's just one gigantic blur, whirlwind of tornado storm. And of course, I'm being a little bit funny and a little bit facetious today. But friends, there are storms in this life that will bring us to our knees. They will make things difficult. They will make life difficult. And we need to have starting power. We need to have starting power. See, when the storm hits your boat and the storm is raging and we're barely making headway, we're going to have some staying power. See, it's tough to, in those circumstances, it's tough in the variables that are coming against you to branch out and start something new. It's difficult to go in a new direction. It's tough to leap out of that boat and to blaze a new trail. It's tough to admit that the path we're on, that it ain't working anymore. It's tough to admit that the path that we're on, where we're putting all this effort into and we're getting very little headway, it's tough to admit it to ourselves that maybe there's a better path. Now, this story, we're reading it in Mark. It's also recorded in Matthew and in John. But Matthew records a little bit extra to this story. He says that Jesus is coming out and he's walking on the water, and Peter gets out of the boat and Peter walks on water to the Lord. See, right in the middle of the storm, Peter has enough faith. He has enough sense. He has enough bravery to leave the boat behind. He has enough starting power to get out of the boat and blaze a new trail on water. It's a place where humans are not meant to walk. He has a willingness to leap out of the boat, to leap out of the situation, to leap out of the storm that was affecting the boat, and do something new and to do something different. It is more difficult than it sounds, friends. Have you ever started a new job? Have you ever started have you ever moved neighborhoods? Have you ever started a new school, your kids in a new school district? Have you ever been divorced and remarried and started over in life, so to speak? Those are very difficult things to do. It sounds great to blaze a new trail, but yet it's very unknown. It's very uncertain. And here we have Peter. Peter has enough starting power that says, I'm going to blaze a new trail. I'm going to start a new path. I'm going to head a new direction. Right in the middle of the storm, Peter has starting power. And my friends, we need to never lose that. We need to always have starting power. And this, my friends, is what I call the sexy gospel. This is the gospel that everybody loves. This is the gospel that looks sweet, that everybody wants to be like Peter. And we've heard this story preached again and again and again about how fabulous Peter is and how fabulous Peter was, that Peter gets out of the boat in the middle of the storm, that Peter is walking by faith across the waves and across the waters, and that if you just keep your eyes on Jesus, us and keep your eyes away from the winds and away from the waves, that you won't sink and that you'll get closer to the Master. And we're challenged all the time to be like Peter. And we sing songs like Oceans, like Take Me Deeper Than I Ever Thought I Could Travel. And we always want to be like Peter. We want to have faith like Peter. We want to be a trailblazer like Peter. We want to have the starting power like Peter. And while I honestly believe all of that is true and some of that is very admirable, there is also something that is not quite as sexy that is happening as a backstory. And it's also more, I think, important and also more significant. And we never ever hear it preached, because Peter got out of the boat and Peter blazed a new trail. But all the other disciples decided to stay in the boat. Let me read on in Mark chapter 6, verse 48. He says, he saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. And shortly before dawn, he went out to them walking on the lake. And he was about to pass by them when they saw him walking on the lake, and they thought he was a ghost. And they cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. And immediately he spoke to them and he said, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." And then he climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down, and they were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. See, everyone's eyes were on the trailblazer, Peter, and he became like this folk hero. But there is an unsung group of heroes that are on that boat that don't get quite as much credit. The disciples are still on the boat. They're still in the middle of the storm. They're still battling to keep it afloat. They're still straining against the oars. And these men are tired. These men are worn out. They had great starting power, and they got halfway to the middle of the lake in quick fashion. They were knocking it out of the park. But when the storm hit, and opposition hit, and struggle hit, their progress was stifled, and it was difficult to move forward. In fact, for the next several hours, they would make little to no gains out there. Have you ever been in a storm like that? I bet you have. Where your successes are minimal and your gains are minimal, and you're working and you're working and you're working and you're rowing, but yet you don't see the progress that you think you should see. Your gains are minimal, and you're pleading with God for guidance, but yet God's voice seems far off in your life. And it's almost frustrating at times. And sometimes we hate to admit it, but we get a little frustrated in our walk with God. Sometimes in the storm, when we feel like we're going through something and we know that, hey, God left us. God's on the shore, and God sent us into the storm while he stayed back. And so we are left here to go through the storm alone. And maybe sometimes we feel like that. Maybe sometimes we feel like we're going through the storm alone. In that moment, I'm sure it sure sounds good to be like Peter. See, in that moment when we're frustrated in the storm and we're frustrated by progress and we're not seeing the end of it, I'll bet you dream like Peter. I'll bet you dream about a new path. I'll bet you dream about a new destination. I'll bet you dream about greener grass and different pastures. I'll be honest, I've been there. I've been there a little bit right now as we currently weather 2020 together. I feel like 2020 is the year where God put me on a boat and sent me through a storm. I've never pastored through a pandemic before. I've never pastored through quarantine situations before. I've never had so many Zoom meetings in my life. I've never listened to countless hours of lawyers and tax attorneys, and they're talking about the government-funded stimulus package and how it can benefit churches. I have never recorded so many hours in front of a camera and a green screen before. I've never tried to feed people spiritually through technology while social distancing and not being able to see people face to face. I've never tried to minister to people while we're supposed to be 6 feet away wearing a mask. I've had to think about how we take offerings, which I've never had to think about that before. How do we do communion in this time? How do we lay hands on people and pray for one another? How do we come together in a safe manner and quarantine and block off pews and have the right seating? All of these things are new. And honestly, just to be real honest with you, there are times when I dream about a beach in Florida. I do. I dream about going to a restaurant and sitting down at a restaurant and having a waiter or a waitress bring me food. It sounds nice. I dream about those moments. I dream about the time where I might be able to go to an air-conditioned movie theater and sit down and watch a movie. I dream about sitting on the beach, getting a tan, and just enjoying the view and rest and relaxation. See, in the middle of the storm, it's easy to dream about greener pastures. It's easy to dream about a place that is anywhere but the place that we're at. And sometimes we get disillusioned in the fact that maybe we are right there where God wants us. Remember, God is the one that put them on the boat and sent them into the storm. And if God sends you into the storm, there has to be purpose for you going through the storm. And in the middle of the storm is where some of your most important decisions in life are made. Oftentimes, we dream of a better path. It's in those times, though, that we can't forget the loaves. Do not forget the loaves. What are we talking about? Verse 52 says, "For they had not understood about the loaves, and their hearts were hardened because of it." What are we talking about? Loaves. That loaves was part of the last story. See, Jesus had previously done a miracle. He fed a crowd of 5,000 people or better, and he fed them all with 2 fish and 5 loaves. And everyone ate, and they ate, and they ate, and they ate until everybody was full. And it was so much that they had all these leftovers. And he commanded the disciples to go around and gather all of the leftovers and to take them with them. See, God told them to pick up the scraps because you're going to need the loaves in the boat in the middle of the storm. God, why would we need the loaves in the middle of the storm in our boat? See, God was trying to send them a message and remind them that even though we're in a needy place, that even though the burden was too big for us to meet, even though the resources were lacking, even though they were in a storm that was birthed in hunger and came out with dehydration and weariness, that God still took 2 fish and 5 loaves and multiplied it and did a miracle and fed the 5,000, so much to the fact that everybody was full and everybody went back for seconds and everybody went back for thirds. And he proved to everyone that he is still Jehovah Jireh, that he is still our provider, that he is still El Shaddai, the God that is more than enough. And he commanded his disciples to take the residuals, to take the scraps, to take the loaves with them. And the loaves were small reminders that God has an overabundance of blessing when he pours it out, that God has an overabundance of provision. And God has poured out so much food that they could not eat it, and that they had to take it with them, and they had to take it with them through the next thing. So in a dry place, in a hard place, when maybe there isn't enough provision, God has already provided. God has already done something, and it's enough to sustain you and get you through. So when you go through the storms of your life, and there is opposition, and there is hardship, and there is difficulty, and you're in a place that you cannot physically see Jesus, and you're facing hardships, and you're fighting the winds, and your bodies are so sore that you cannot continue, and you're so fatigued that you don't think you're going to make it. The most important rule is don't forget the cargo that you're carrying. Don't forget what you still have. Don't forget the little things. Don't forget the blessings that God has already given you that you carry with you. Don't forget the subtle reminders of God's provision, of His guidance, and it's still working in your life. There is something so much greater than starting power. It's staying power. Staying power. That no matter how bad things get, that no matter how big the storm is, that no matter how, what comes against us, no matter how difficult it is to move forward, that I'm not jumping ship, that I'm not going anywhere, that the Lord put me on a boat, the Lord sent me through a storm, the Lord gave me a destination, and I will not deviate from it. I won't go to the left, I won't go to the right, but I will gut it out in the trenches. I will gut it out in the middle of the storm because I know the Lord's anointing is with me. The Lord's blessing is with me. The Lord's provision was with me. And if He give me a destination, then He will see to it that He will get me to that destination. I will have staying power. Listen to me, men out there. Listen to me, world out there. What the world needs now is not starting power. What the world needs now is staying power. We need men with some staying power. We need some fathers with some staying power. As I begin to close this sermon, I want to talk about what happens next in the story. See, they reach their destination. They reach the other side of the lake there. And there's people there that recognize Jesus and they're waiting on Him and they gather all the townspeople and the word is spread and everybody comes to Jesus and there's great healings and there's great miracles and everyone that comes into contact with Jesus is healed and changed. And that's the last power that I want to talk about today. It's finishing power. It's the happy ending that's at the end of our story. It's the ending that we all dream about. It's the fairy tale ending where everything ends well. And going through the storm was also worth it to get to this point. I would brave 10 storms to get to this point. It's the storybook ending that we all want. We want to get to the end of the road and know that braving the storms was worth it. And we want to get to the end of the road and say, you know what? I made the right decisions in the middle of the storm and all of my hard work paid off. It's the finishing power. As we close today's service, I want you to know, it's important to note that whether you were like Peter and you had starting power and you blazed a new trail in the middle of your storm, or you had staying power and you decided to stick it out no matter how tough, how hard things got, God gave you a mission and you weren't deviating from it. No matter which route you took, no matter whether you were like Peter or like John, they both reached the shores of the other side together. So which way is right? Which direction should I go? What gives me the greatest finishing power? Should I be like Peter and blaze a new trail? Should I be like John and stay in the boat? Let me answer that with another story. And with this, I'll close. The other day I was riding ATVs and I was out on the trail and I was riding with some of my nieces and my nephews and there's a gigantic hill and the hill was a little bit of a challenge. And I'm sitting there, and as I'm going up this hill, I'm determining the best route to get up the hill. And there's different paths that are cut out in this hill, and some are steeper and some are more gradual. And so I'm trying to figure out what is the best way to go. And as I'm going up in the storm, up in the hill, I am deciding which path to take. And so I'm kind of zigzagging up this hill to a moment when I realize that is not the best approach to go up a hill, zigzagging. The best approach is to pick a path, hit the throttle, and ride it for all it's worth until you reach your destination. And my friends, I guess that is what I'm talking to you today about. In the middle of the storm, which way should I go? Which one gives me the finishing power? Which one gets me to my destination? Which one gets me to the other side? Let me know. Oftentimes, it doesn't matter the path you pick. It's the one that you stay with that counts. It's the one that you dedicate yourself to that counts. It's the one that you're consistent with that counts. Which diet plan works for you? There's 1,000 diet plans. Which one will work for you? It's the one that you stick with. What gym routine should I go with? What fitness program? There's 1,000 of them out there. The one that works is the one that you stick with. The one that you dedicate yourself to. The one that you're consistent with. This Father's Day, men out there listening, let me remind you that in the middle of the storm, your consistency is everything. Consistency is everything. Your consistency in the lives of your kids is everything. Your consistency in putting God first is everything. Let me challenge you to be consistent in the lives of your family, in good times and in bad times, in the midst of sunshine and in the midst of the storm. Stability is everything. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word that was given to us. And now today, I pray that for those of us that are facing storms in our life, storms that have drained us, storms that have made us weary, storms that are difficult, Lord, that have taken us to a place of vulnerability. Lord, would you help us learn to be stable in the midst of storm? Help us learn to weather it ferociously, to fear not, to have great starting power, great staying power, and great finishing power. Lord, I pray that in your name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.